I'm going to take time. I'm visiting with Joe Smith. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the Boone County Hospital. And Joe, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
My pleasure.
We've had a lot of visits.
How many times, I wonder, have we talked? That would be, we'd have to estimate, I'm sure. But
I'd have to go back and start. Yeah, I don't know if I count that long. But anyway, one of the things, well, for folks that don't know, if they're not aware, this will be our last visit as you as CEO, unless we have something come up here real fast before the end of the year. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Which I don't anticipate. No.
We do have the board did meet last week, and they made you pay for it.
Because the November meeting and the December meeting would occur on Thanksgiving and Christmas, we always combine the two, but we are punished because, things happen every month, the agenda was as long an agenda as I've ever seen before. I mean, we were afraid, on the agenda, things are listed alphabetically, and we were afraid we were going to have to start going to AA and BB and that sort of thing. It was massive, for the last time, we thought we'd see how long we could go. And that was the other thing. I think we went, where did we go, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, it went about 2.5 hours, yeah.
And that's there's an unwritten rule with the hospital board. If anybody ever wants to consider being a part of it, it gets much past an hour and a half, people start getting cranky.
Well, this
2.5 was kind of hard.
Yeah. Well, this one, for a variety of reasons, you did get the audit report included in there, which normally would have been a couple of months ago.
And it was a little slow. We use an auditing firm out of Omaha that has been called Syme Johnson, and Syme Johnson was just acquired by a larger national firm.
Yeah,
Ide Bailey, for people that know about accounting firms. But there was some, things that the two organizations needed to learn about each other, and some of the steps that would ordinarily have gone a little bit more smoothly were a little slower. They weren't a problem. It was just a new group of people took them time, and at the end of the day, it was a completely clean audit, and everything everything was is exactly as you hope it would be. So in that sense, it was worth the wait, and we got our Medicare cost report is always part of that, and we got that filed in plenty of time. So all's well that ends well.
And your auditor just happened to come across CMS moved you into a metropolitan area.
It's the strangest thing.
And it's not the first time it's happened to you.
Apparently not. It was something that the auditors found this year, but apparently it happened in 2021. Now, how we were supposed to know that is sort of beyond me, but because nobody from CMS notifies you when that sort of thing happens. So we found that out, and we're momentarily horrified because if you're an urban hospital, you can't participate in the critical access hospital program.
Sure.
And if we're all of a sudden an urban hospital, that sent shockwaves through at least the Joe Devon's heart and mine. But within a very short time, we found in the regulations that there's a form that you can fill out, and you basically send it into CMS, and you say we'd like to maintain our rural status, and they approve it. And then, in the process of getting ready to send that letter, we started digging through some old files and found that we had already done that in 2005, which was long ago, and I certainly didn't remember it at the time. So, it was in all the time I've been here, there just have been a handful of things that when I first hear about them, I think I just am terrified that something really awful has happened, and it just never turned out that way. And this one won't either. We sent the paperwork in, and we'll be fine. But it's just like just moments sheer, yeah.
sheer terror, yeah,
sheer terror, horror. But and you know what? Most of the time, I can count on maybe one hand the number of times over the years that that's happened while I've been on vacation. And this one was exactly the same way. We were having a big family reunion in Florida when I got the email that we weren't rural anymore, that we were urban now. So that ruined a couple of hours of my vacation, but
we recovered.
We got it worked out.
Yeah. We recovered. We did have, again, all the different things. Obviously, one of the big things, because this is the first meeting after the election, so you did have four people that got reelected to the board, so oath of office. But with the transition going on, the board just pretty well, let's just keep our officers the same for the time being.
Right. There's seven people on the board. They divide themselves up into committees, and really for the most part, the two major committees are the Executive Committee and the Finance Committee. And if you're not on one, you're on the other. The Executive Committee focuses on all kinds of things and general operations. Finance Committee is, we talk about different things, but it's more tied to finance.
Capital projects, things like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The board did really feel like, though, with a new CEO coming on board, maybe the board members themselves didn't want to be in new positions as well, so they decided, at least for this next year, to leave things as they are. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they don't shake things up a little bit next year.
Yeah. Well, we did have, Michaela was here, Keenitz was here. Got to watch the meeting. You said, don't do what I do, do what I say. No, she was on hand to watch. At the same time, her hospital was getting pummeled with the fire in Marengo. So.
Right, yeah, and that was so interesting. It came across my phone or my computer that there was an explosion in Marengo, Iowa, and I thought, well, my goodness, that's where Michaela's from. And I asked her about it. She'd already been on the phone and asked if she needed to come back and if they needed her help, but it sounds like they handled things pretty well. And they're, I'm sure they're a fine hospital, although I don't know that much about the hospital in Marengo. They are relatively close to Iowa City. So for those kinds of, I think there were some burns and some things like that in that particular incident. And I think being close to Iowa City is a really good thing in that regard.
Well, we did have a variety of business things that did come up, and financially, pretty steady as we're really halfway through the fiscal year.
So. Yeah, we are. And the thing that, again, why I've talked about it a million times, why not do it one more time? The 340B program that we've tried to revitalize since the drug companies have in some ways, have acquiesced to getting back into the program, is turning itself back on, and we've gotten quite a bit of revenue back from that program, not quite as much as we had hoped, but then within a couple of days of the board meeting, we got another check for $400,000 from one of the 340B program participants, and so that money's starting to funnel its way back in, and the closer we get to where we were formerly with the program, the better the hospital is going to be doing financially. Because from a revenue perspective and a volume perspective, we're doing really well. I mean, we're busy. Mm-hmm. Our revenues are up. It's just the 340B program was one of those programs that generated some revenue that we were losing.
Yeah.
The expenses, that's an ongoing battle. There was a period last year where it just seemed like every one of the neighboring hospitals was giving a salary increase. Seemed to me about every month. I know it wasn't quite that frequently, but boy, there was such a competition for staff, and everybody was so short-staffed, and they continue to be. Honestly, it's right now. It's we talked about COVID for a couple of years. The hospitals in Des Moines are brimming. I mean, they're absolutely full, and it's not necessarily COVID. Some of it is. Some of it's the flu. Some of it's RSV.
Yeah.
And it's just as hard.
And then regular end of the year patients that are trying to schedule things too.
So. Right. Yeah. And even the walk-in clinics in Des Moines are saying you don't walk in anymore. You call and make an appointment, which We haven't gotten to that point.
Well, and, but they are suggesting you go look at the on the port on the website.
Online, sure, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the what your anticipated wait time is.
Right, and I'll tell you what happens here in Boone, and just for people that do listen, if you think you're going to go get in line early, you better come pretty early, because a lot of times when we're opening anymore, we'll have 15 or 20 people already there waiting for that first appointment. So that first large group of people, if you're at sort of your number 15 or 16, you've got a really long wait while you're, you know, because you're at that point. Whereas people that are waiting until 10 or 11 or 12, that initial rush has been dealt with, and people are getting in much more quickly. So, yeah, if you're really sick, don't go to the walk-in clinic, go to the emergency department. If you think you can wait a couple of hours, there's just a bottleneck that occurs right away that it just takes them 2 or 3 hours to work their way through.
Okay. Well, a couple other things that I know we've had, or there have been some discussions about up in Webster City. They are looking for a little OB help.
Right. There's some family physicians in Webster City, and family physicians, most of them, or at least most of them in rural hospitals and rural communities, get in that because they want to do all kinds of things. You know, they want to take care of elderly people, but they also want to take care of expectant mothers, and they want to take care of newborn babies. And one of the things that happens in a lot of situations is if you lose a mom to an obstetrician in Ames or some other location, a lot of times you don't get that newborn care back. So what the family physicians in Webster City were saying is, look, we've got patients that really want to stick with us, but we're not delivering babies here anymore. So they've started a conversation with Dr. Hay and Dr. Stevenson and Dr. Lincolnmeyer here in town about what if we see our OB patients up until, I'm blanking on exactly what the, whether it's 28 weeks or whatever it is, up until a certain point, we'll then transfer that patient's care for obstetrics to you, deliver the baby here, and then as soon as that, you know, as soon as the delivery's over and mom and babe are home, then we'll take those patients back. And that really is what the patients are looking for, too. Not every patient wants to do it that way, but we really anticipate, we started those discussions. And a lot of it has to do, okay, well, how do we communicate and how do we transfer records and how do we make sure that we're covering all of our bases? But there are already a number of women from the Webster City area that are planning to do that. And it beefs up our OB program a little bit, and it's a great thing.
So, we'll just keep plugging along with that too. What about physician recruitment? How are we progressing there? Is there something going to be done? This will be something that'll fall into Michaela's lap, I'm sure.
It will, and it'll be a challenge. And you know, again, I've said this before. For many years, physician recruiting, particularly family practice physicians, was relatively easy for us. There just were more physicians looking for the kind of opportunity that we have than we had. I mean, we were turning people away, honestly.
Sure.
But the staffing issues that we're facing in so many areas are kind of true as physicians too, and I will tell you it's been much slower. We're looking for immediately one family practice physician, and I think over the next couple of years, two or three, and the number of candidates just hasn't been out there. Now we do have somebody coming for a site visit the end of December, and we're hopeful there. It sounds like it would be a good fit, but until the ink is on the paper, you know, you just keep working it.
Yeah.
And there just aren't we just haven't seen the volume of interested candidates that we've seen in the past.
So is it just because you're retiring? Is that Dr. Malhouse retiring too? Is that?
Yeah, I'm sure that's it, yeah. I just don't know the answer. But I do know it's not exclusive to us, we're talking to our peers, it really is the same across Iowa anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's. I did want to take some time and kind of go back 30 years as the CEO here for the Boone County Hospital. And yes, I do remember what it was like when you came in. It was, I mean, you had a board that made that decision at the time. They wanted to, they needed to shore things up. Again, it was, the hospital was in pretty tough straits at that time.
Well, from a new CEO perspective, it presented a lot of challenges, but there was also almost nowhere to go but up.
Yep.
To tell you the truth, so in a lot of ways that that was good for me. There were some difficult things that needed to happen, particularly in regard to some staff cuts and that sort of thing. And thankfully, we went through that together, and I think we reduced the workforce by just under 25%, and that's an incredible thing. And I remember thinking at the time, I never want to do anything like that again. And thankfully, I never had to. I mean, there were little things along the way, but absolutely nothing along those lines. It was a great job for a young person that wanted to be a CEO. I had not done that before, and I was so ignorant, and I didn't know what I was getting into. And I think, I think if I had, maybe it would have scared me away. But it really worked out, and it's been such a pleasure. I honestly never dreamed I'd get to do anything like this, and it's. I can't imagine at this point having done anything else. And the staff's been great. The kinds of things that they've accomplished over the years, are just tremendous. And Boone has been a fabulous place for my family and continues to be. Most of my kids and my grandkids, most of them are still here in town, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So it's been a blessing, and. But time now for somebody else with a little bit more vim and vigor and some fresh ideas. And I really think, I wasn't very involved in the recruitment process for the new CEO or the selection, but I have had a chance to meet Michaela, and I think she's going to be a great asset to the town.
I'm going to go back, and because for people that may not be aware how it was set up, but it was a working arrangement. Quorum provided the management for the hospital. So you had mentors all along the way. Were there times when they tried to move you out?
There were a couple of opportunities that, one, we have our family has a little tiny cabin in the mountains in Colorado, and we love that place. It sounds nicer than it probably. I encourage people to think of a small little house on the prairie kind of
sure.
thing. I can remember one mountain community where it was, where there was some discussion that, but you know what? I every time there were a couple of times when. I thought about an opportunity, but every time it seemed that came around, our family was in a period where it just wasn't in their best interest to make a move. The kids were, wherever it was they were in school, it just wasn't a good time for them. And
sure.
and every time, when we sat down and really looked at it, it just wasn't. The timing was never right, and it was never something,
You didn't go out and actively pursue it, but
no,
I'm guessing
didn't,
you were.
I didn't feel like that was going to make my career better for me. It would just be. Trading one set of problems for another set of problems, and potentially doing some damage to the family as well. So I just think that it's really unusual for somebody in my position to stay in one place this long. There are a handful of people that I've known that have done that, but I will tell you, I think when you really get down to it, with most of them, I think they were just more centered on their family than they were on sure. that next bigger place. Mm-hmm. And I think that was true with Robin and I.
When I look back at what's happened to the hospital, one of the things you said during the board meeting is, you know, a lot, you can do so much, but you have to have board support. So you've had some good working boards.
I've had an outstanding board, and you know, I've started to, you know, think back to the very start when Jim Jordan was chairman of the board, and how you know, how he agonized over some of the things that, you know, had to happen right at first. And, you know, I'm not going to start naming old board members because I'm sure I'd forget somebody. But I will tell you this. The one of the absolute sure-fired way to harm a hospital, especially a rural hospital in a community like ours, is to have bad boards. And bad boards run away CEOs, and they run away physicians, and the boards here over all of these years, I mean, they understood, you know, what the role was. They understood that it was their job to hire a CEO, but then to let that CEO, me, you know, run the organization. And if, in fact, they were ever dissatisfied with that, and this is what happens in a lot of places, honestly, is the board members decide that they're going to start getting involved in every little decision and every personnel decision and every, and it just is, it's just a recipe for disaster. And for 30 years, I was blessed with people that, they had my back. They also pushed me. You know, there were times when, you know, when I was, you know, when I was aware that, I wasn't living up to some expectation or other, but that was, you know, that was their job, and they did a great job with that. But, nobody lasts. I think I said at the board meeting, and I won't name the hospital, but I'm aware of a hospital in Iowa that I think has had 5 CEOs in the last 6 or 7 years, and that is what happens when you don't get the right mix of people with the right perspective and the right expectations, and it's been fabulous.
So I look back and I say, the hospital you came into, you know, a lot of remodeling. We've gone through a lot of things there. Obviously, still have some more work that needs to be done in that area. You kind of laid the groundwork for that. Then one of the bigger things, I think, is getting physicians to be in part of the hospital. And again, that took some work to get that done, and it had to involve the physicians being a big part of it.
Well, it really was, and again, one of the most significant transformations here, you know, when I started, the hospital did not employ a single physician. Now I think we had a contract with most people in town for a while. We'll remember Dr. Cook. We had a contract with him, mm-hmm. and he was our pathologist, and that was a fabulous relationship. But he wasn't an employee of the hospital. He was somebody that contracted with us, and again, he was one of those people that was just solid for many, many years. But the rest, you know, their McFarland Clinic had a clinic in town. Mm-hmm. It's what we call our South Clinic now. And when I first got here, there was a group of physicians that had just sort of entered into an agreement to join Unity Point. At least that's what they called them by the end. So we had McFarland Clinic physicians, we had Unity Point physicians, and then we had the hospital. And that really wasn't a bad relationship. In a lot of ways, for me, actually, it was easier because I didn't have to worry about running physician practices. But the motivation to, or you know, for example, we would try to attract orthopedics to the hospital.
Sure.
Well, at the same time, you know, the McFarland Clinic had orthopedics of their own in Ames, and there was at least some motivation to say, well, you know, we need to have McFarland Clinic patients go to Ames for this procedure or that procedure. And it was just hard to get the medical staff to do things together when they were in two separate camps. And fortunately, you know, McFarland Clinic was first. They got into a situation where the clinic was had at least some interest in letting their physicians go, and the physicians had an interest in joining us, and that was the first big step forward in terms of the medical staff, and those physicians became our employees. And then, I'm going to mess this up, but let's say 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years later, Unity Point sort of let us know that they were going to be leaving the community, and they were going to try to take most of their physicians with them, I remember at the time. So we got busy with, negotiating with Dr. Melhouse and Dr. Filipiak, and Sasha Parsons was one of those physicians, and I'm kind of blanking
there
on
were a couple
the,
others, yeah.
Who the others were. But so then when that was finally completed, you know, then we finally sort of had what we had always wanted. We had a medical staff that was all the physicians were employees of the hospital, all motivated to at least, you know, every physician has their own practice and does things the way they want to do it, but at least we had more of a cohesiveness in terms of decision-making and how we attract specialists and that sort of thing. Now, again, having said that, then all of a sudden the physician clinics were, the operation of the physician clinics was a huge part of the hospital and something that we had to learn over time how to do.
Yeah.
We're in great shape. Tacy Heiberger runs the physician clinics for us and does an outstanding job. But it was a challenge we didn't have at the time. Operating a physician practice was a challenge that wasn't part of my training, and it was something that we sort of learned by the seat of our pants. And then the other one that was I think I talked about at the meeting is when I started at the hospital, our IT department was one woman, and it wasn't called IT; it was called data processing.
Yeah.
And boy, I think IT holds real promise. But I will tell you that IT in healthcare is not there yet.
Still got some challenges, yeah.
It's a huge challenge, one that, I guess if I had to say I was, in terms of what Michaela's going to have to do right out of the chute, I mean, we still have some IT issues and we have some things, we have some improvements we need to make in that area to make the system more dependable for our physicians and more efficient for our staff and our physicians. And I think that's going to be a challenge. And then we've already talked about physician recruiting. I think that's going to be, something that she'll have to deal with from day one. And it's not the kind of thing that you fix overnight, but it's the kind of thing that she's going to have to work on the first couple of years that she's here.
And she has a board that's willing to do that.
Yeah. And I think she's got great skills. She's been in a hospital that is maybe not quite as big as ours, but a nice hospital. She's been chief operating officer there for many years, and one of the differences between her and me is that she has a much more clinical background. She's an RN by training, and that's gonna give her a perspective that maybe I never had.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've talked about the changing face of healthcare and some of the challenges, ongoing challenges. This was even before the pandemic. These things we've been looking at for a long time, and again, IT is a big part of that. Being able to meet that demand for what your patients are looking for, what your clients will be looking for. So.
Right, and what the patient's most important representative is their physician. So we have to have systems that work for our physicians and our patients, and we're making progress. We've had some. Maybe this is more front of mind for me because we've had some
issues lately.
Hiccups over the last month or two.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Hiccups, yeah.
Hiccups. That's right. That sounds pretty benign, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm thinking that, and I think these things will be worked through. But if somebody asked, what are you leaving behind that maybe you We're wishing was in a little better condition. I'd say that would probably be my number one priority. And again, not that it can't be solved, and we're working through some things. But boy, what a challenge! You know, to just go from, you know, everything was a paper medical record, and it just turned the apple cart upside down, and all of a sudden we were using computers, and you know, all the same little problems that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to order a Christmas present and your computer's acting up, you know what level of frustration you have. If you're trying to take care of 25 patients and your computer's acting up, you can just sort of multiply that. So we're, you know, again, I want to maybe not be so negative, but that'll be a challenge going forward.
Well, those are just things, and they get to be a nuisance after a while.
And if you think of, you know, people will, again, get on their computer to order something on Amazon, and maybe their computer's a little slow, and that's a little frustrating. But multiply that by about 20 if you're trying to run your business and things just aren't moving as quickly as they need to. So it's going to be a priority going forward, and I'm sure they're going to make some. And it hasn't been awful. It's just been. If you asked me what the biggest challenge was during the 30 years that I was here, I would tell you it would be the implementation of the electronic health record. Okay. It'll be fine. It's just something that we need to keep working on.
Yes. And we're not the only ones.
Oh, gosh, no.
No,
gosh,
point
no.
out, folks,
no,
we're not
no,
the
only I had knee surgery a couple months ago, and I had one, maybe we talked about this, I don't know, but I had one knee replaced in Des Moines Hospital, that'll go unnamed, and my second one was done here, mostly because I wanted to have them done a week apart, and that's the way my surgeon wanted to do it. So, at the time when I was in Des Moines, they had absolutely no medical records because of what I think turned out to be a ransomware attack, which is a whole other issue that muddies the water. Yeah. But so no, yeah, absolutely, we're not the only ones.
So. Pretty good. Feel good about leaving the hospital situation it's in. Incoming people, and again, the operating board financially, we're looking pretty good. Joe Devin's going to help.
I think
out.
Joe Devin, our CFO, is also, you know, pretty near retirement, and you know, might have been retired, but one of the things the board decided to do is keep Joe on for another, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 months, and I think that's just going to be outstanding because that'll give the new CEO some continuity. You know, the finances are relatively complicated, and that'll just give her a chance to get her feet on the ground and then start looking for Joe's replacement. The amount of cash we have. You know, one of the things you talked about when I walked in the door all those years ago is we were absolutely out of money. I mean, we couldn't pay all of our bills at the end of every month, and now we've got more money in the bank than honestly I would have dreamed 3 or 4 years ago. And COVID actually was sort of helpful in that. But from a security perspective and a, you know, stability, I think the hospital's in great shape and in a position where you know, if there are some temporary issues that have to be dealt with, we've got the financial resources to do that. So no, I'm feeling good about it. I think the staff that I work most closely with here are very experienced and excellent people, and I just think it'll be a relatively easy transition.
Well, many of them were involved with doing all the interviews and stuff.
Well, they were, yeah. So, and I'd have to go to them and say, what do you think?
Well, I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us, keeping us updated on so many different things that have been going on.
So, Jim, I'm going to interrupt you one more time because I really want to say this. I hope you know, and I hope people, and it's not just the hospital, but I hope you know what an asset you are and what a partner you were for us all these years in terms of getting the word out about things that are going on at the hospital and supporting what we were trying to do. And you know, there were some tough things, and I just wanted everybody to know. And again, I think other people outside of healthcare in our community would say the same thing for whatever their organization is, But the ability to talk to you and to go over these kinds of things and to get these issues out and to do it in a real positive way has just been tremendous. And I wanted to say thank you to you for that.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Look forward to maybe even getting out on the golf course with you one of these days again.
That'd be a blast. Let's plan on it.
All righty. Thanks so much for visiting with us.
You're welcome.